This morning we're going to look a little bit at how do you view your glass. When you look at this glass of water, what do you see? Do you see a glass that's half full? Do you see a glass that's half empty? What goes into seeing the glass half full? If you see it half full, you think of all the opportunity. Look at the possibilities I can do with this water. I got a half full water glass. Yeah. Look what I can do. And then when you're going to see it as half empty, how do you view it? See, ooh, that's not much. I've got to save. I don't know if I can get by. I don't have enough. I need more. Well, I came to the topic of this lesson, and it's a self-study. So I'll tell right now, it's part confession, I guess. I'll tell right now, because I wasn't even seeing the glass half full at one time. I seen it right here. I wasn't seeing it half full. I was seeing it maybe a quarter full. So that's where I came with this today. You know, in our jobs and our lives, we have things that get us down. We have illnesses and just problems that we have, and they get us down from time to time. And we have to stop and realize the blessings that we do have in our life and remember to trust in God and understand to accept His will be done. We'll be using the Old Testament as some examples, and we're going to look at the Israel's walked 40-day walk through the wilderness to the promised land as example in the Old Testament. But we're going to begin reading from Corinthians 10, verse 1 and 11. Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all of our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and all did eat of the same spiritual meat and did drink of the same spiritual drink. For they drank of the spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things are our examples, to the intent we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters, as some of them, as it is written. The people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication as some of them committed and fell in one day 3,000. Neither let us tempt Christ as some of them were also tempted and were destroyed of the serpents. Neither murmur ye as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happened unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition upon the whom the ends of the world are to come. You know, in this passage, Paul tells us of a lesson we're to learn from Israel's mistakes. One of them, at the end, murmuring or complaining. Murmuring against God's disposals and His commands greatly provoked him. As we see here, some were destroyed. Serpents, fire destroyed some. Nothing in Scripture is written in vain, and it's our responsibility to learn from it. As we read here, others have fallen, and we may fall also. We need to remember that God is wise and faithful and will make our burdens according to our strength, what He knows we can bear. We need to always remember, as we read here, to trust in God. Now we're going to be reading from Exodus 15, 22 and 26. So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur. And they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. And then they came to Marah. They could not drink the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore the name, it was called Marah. And the Lord, and the people murmured against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? And he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, when which he cast into the waters were made sweet. There he made them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them. And said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and wilt do that which is right in his sight, and wilt give ear to his commandments, and keep all of his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I brought upon the Egyptians. For I am the Lord that healeth thee. They complained that the water was being bitter. They'd been in the wilderness 3 days and didn't have anything to drink, and when they came, it was bitter. And they were told they were going to be led to the promised land. I can only imagine their face when they heard promised land. Mine, when I hear promised land, I'm going to be led out of bondage to the promised land. I focused on promised land, something that's going to be better than I have now. What they didn't realize that through the journey, there's going to be trials and tribulations. And here they found one. They didn't have water. And they were disappointed, and it was bitter. God didn't promise, he didn't say things would be easy. We've never been promised easy. And any time I think of important things or accomplishments in my life that you can list, and maybe in yours, I want you to think, were they easy? Things you consider accomplishments. If it's an accomplishment, it's not going to be easy. You had to work to that. And just like the struggles that the children of Israel went through to go, they had to work. They had to stay together. And they're going to have to show favor to God, show faith to get to the promised land. Accomplishments I think about are team accomplishments, graduations, all that work that went together. Accomplishments with your job, the work and the struggles that you go, it only strengthens you. Everything that we struggle and strife, it strengthens us. I can't go this morning without mentioning what I witnessed Friday. And I talked to, last Friday I was in Houston at the TASB convention. Many of you know have ties to the Fort Elliott School. I went and watched a program that was amazing. And then talking to some of them up to the program and until it, and all the work that was put in, there was some struggles and strives. I know they heard they're going to get to go to Houston and do a program, a lot of excitement. And then we started working. And they had 5 o'clock rehearsals. I don't know what all. I've heard all kinds of stories of the struggles they went through. But the sense of accomplishment on their face at 4:30 when the lights came on and they saw a standing ovation of, 4,000 people. You could tell it. Anything that means something, there's going to be struggles. Just like the children of Israel, they're going to be led to the promised land. They focused on promised land. They didn't think of the journey that they were going to have to take. We read in Psalms 106 and 24 that we need to keep our faith and trust in God. Yea, they despised the pleasant land. They believed not his word, but murmured in their tents and hearkened unto the voice of the Lord. This passage was written because they had lost. They did not believe God was taking care of them. And it said that he was leading them to the promised land. When things got tough, they murmured against him. When things get tough, how do we react? We're going to have tough situations. How do we react? How do you react? How do I react when things get tough? Do I question or do I look to God and pray? We're going to read Matthew 6, verse 25 through 34. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat and what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is there not the life more than meat and the body more than raiment? Behold the fowls in the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, neither do they gather in barns. Your heavenly Father feedeth them. And ye, are ye not much better than they? And which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field and how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you, then even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought in saying, what shall we eat, what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. When we get in a tough situation, does complaining help us get out of the situations? Or should we replace it with prayer? We need to remember that sometimes the things that we believe we need, we may not need at that time. And when things are not going well, the first thing I always think that I need to look at myself, just like I did. I was looking at the glass a quarter full. I need to look at myself. I need to look at what I could do different, what I was putting into it, and see how I can make things better. And we all need things to sustain our life, but we always need to remember we need to seek the kingdom of God first and look to him for our guidance in life and trust in him. We also need to, we're going to find that we need to be careful looking into the past. And we're going to read Exodus 16, verse 2 through 8. And the whole congregation of children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said unto them, Would to God we had died by the land of the, by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots and when we did eat bread to the full. For ye have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. Then said the Lord unto Moses, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and shall people go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove them whether they walk in my law or no. And it shall come to pass that on the sixth day they shall prepare that which they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather daily. And Moses and Aaron said unto the children of Israel, at even then ye shall know that the Lord hath brought you out from the land of Egypt. And in the morning then ye shall see the glory of the Lord, for he that heareth your murmurings against the Lord, and what are we that ye murmur against us? And Moses said, this shall be, when the Lord shall give you in the evening flesh to eat, and the morning bread to the full, for the Lord heareth your murmurings for which ye murmur against him, and what are we? Your murmurings are against us, or not against us, but against the Lord. Again, they hit a rough spot. They begin to look back and they get remembered when I was in Egypt, I had food. My stomach was full. And they remembered the good things, or they felt like they remembered the good things they had in Egypt. And the reward of the promised land had started to fade in their minds. They were looking in the past and lost sight of the goal of the promised land in this passage. We read in Luke 9 and verse 62, and Jesus said unto him, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. So it warns us not to look back in the past. When I was growing up, many of you know, y'all have heard the farm stories. And my granddad, he always, he would take pride in straight rows. He caught farm cotton in some milo in his straight rows, and they had to be laid off perfect. So when I got old enough, he was going to show me how to do this. And he would get me in, I'd watch him and I'd ride with him, and he'd tell me, you got to look right down here and you'll keep it straight. Everything will be good. But I could not look up. I had to look and see what I was doing and what I'd done. I couldn't make myself look forward all the time. And you know what? I'd look back and catch a glimpse and I could get back on pretty quick. But when I'd get kind of mesmerized, I guess, by what it looked like behind me and would look a little longer, could I find that point, that goal I was looking for? No, I couldn't. I'd lose sight and I'd have to nearly stop and regather myself to go forward. So when we're looking back in the past, it's not that we don't learn from our past. It's that we don't dwell on the past and rest and say, I've done this. Look what I've done. We can't do that. Because when we're looking back, sometimes we lose sight of our goal forward. Needless to say, I didn't get the farm on the highway. I was on the back patch. Because my granddad did take pride in that. I've always also said that we look in the past, or we dwell in the past, we'll lose our future. You need to know and control the direction of your life as a Christian. Do not get caught looking back, because if we get caught looking back, we lose sight of our goal. It weakens our faith, and then Satan's boom right there, and he can get us. Because he's looking for any chance he can to weaken us and get into our lives. So be careful looking back in the past and dwelling on it. Do you complain when you don't get what you feel you deserve? I think I've been guilty of this before as a child and as an adult. We're going to read Numbers 11, 5 through 9. We remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt freely, the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlic. But now our soul is dried away and there's nothing at all beside this manna before our eyes. And this manna was as a coriander seed, and the color thereof, the color bdellum. And the people went about and they would gather it. They ground it in mills or beat it in mortar and baked it in pans and made cakes of it. And the taste of it was a taste of fresh oil. And when the dew fell upon the camp at night, the manna fell upon it. They complained because manna is all they had to eat. Not that they didn't have anything to eat, that manna is all they had to eat. And they were tired of it. You know, it's funny, the manna seemed to appear at the time they began their 40-year experience in the wilderness and disappeared about the same way. And if we read here, and the dew fell upon the camp at night and the manna fell upon it. So God was providing for them. It might not have been what they felt like they deserved or wanted, but he was providing for them. Sometimes we don't get what we think we need at times. Some doors are shut that we think that should be open, that there are things we want to do. Do you ever wonder? And when those doors are shut, then we go a different direction. Sometimes we're upset. But do you ever stop and wonder how you got to this point in your life? Your jobs, your families, your Christianity, your church. Have you ever stopped to wonder? You know, there's been times that I've had my feelings hurt because I had a door shut, but then another one opened. And I went in that door, and I never would have gone in that door. If you'd have told me when I got out of high school I was going to be doing the job I'm doing, I'd have laughed. I'd have been very disrespectful. But doors open, and I feel blessed. So something might shut, something else opens. God's going through this journey with us, and we need to understand that. And we need to understand that He blesses us all in our lives and goes and is with us in our journey. And we need to be thankful instead of complaining. We read in Matthew 20, verse 1 through 12, "For the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder, which went out in early morning to hire the laborers in his vineyard. And we had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day. He sent them to the vineyard and went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And he said unto them, Go ye also to the vineyard, and whatsoever is right I will give you. And they went on their way. Again he went out about the sixth and the ninth hour and did likewise. And about the 11th hour he went out and found others standing idle and saith unto them, Why stand ye here idle all day? They said unto him, Because no man hath hired us. He said unto them, Go ye also to the vineyard, for whatsoever is right that ye shall receive. So when even was come, the Lord of the vineyard saith to the steward, Call the laborers and give them their hire, beginning from the last unto the first. And they came that were hired about the 11th hour, they received every man one penny. But when the first came, they supposed that they should have received more, and likewise received every man one penny. And when they had received it, they murmured against the good man of the house, saying, The last have wrought but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal to us, which have borne the burden of the heat all day. So the workers that worked all day were upset that the ones came the last hour got the same thing they did, even though they had agreed to it. They felt like they weren't getting what they deserved. They deserved more. We need to be thankful for the things we have. We need to look at our glass of half full instead of half empty. Find joy in a world full of sorrow and make our situations the best they can be. We need to be thankful that we have a Savior, Jesus Christ, that gave something to us that we did not deserve. His life for us, to have our sins forgiven, a chance of eternity. When I read that, Jesus gave His life so I could have my sins forgiven. Did I deserve that when I think? Am I getting what I deserve, and are you getting what you deserve? Because we do have that Savior that had cared so much and loved us so much that He gave His life for us. Complaining, we read in Philippians 2 and verse 14, "Do all things without murmurings and disputings. Complaining indicates lack of trust, failure to see the blessings we have, desire to have the things we want our way." What message do we send to non-Christians and Christians alike about our faith when we're complaining? We're to serve God and lead others to Him. We need to keep a good positive attitude and show our faith to others. Other people would rather be led by positive individuals that show care for their situation and have a strong faith and trust in God. And we need to remember this as we're going through life and we're having our dealings with other people. We also need to be content. We read Philippians 4. In verse 11, "Not that I speak in respect for want, for what I've learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith be content." We need to be content whatever state we're in and be able to overlook the unfairness of life, because life's not fair. When planning our vacation, we was talking about what we want to do this summer. Shona and the kids, they were looking at the beach and down south. And having the beach body I have, I was looking Colorado and up north, because I knew better to go south in July. But being the strong leader of the household I am, we were sitting in San Antonio one July afternoon at Fiesta, Texas. The kids were running around having a great time. and I was limping like I do sometimes. My toenails were sweating, and I was hot and miserable and upset, thinking I could be in the mountains on a lake fishing in a shade tree. And I began to get a bad attitude. And here, every time this happens with me, I don't know about y'all, it seems like something just slaps me in the face. I'm sitting there because I planned my trips out. I'm sitting under a shade tree where I'm going to sit the next time. And I see a young man coming. I don't know what age. Didn't know him. And I don't know what they're called. He was disabled and had the crutches that he had to walk around his arms. And he was a smile from ear to ear. His whole family had a smile from ear to ear. And I thought, who am I to be complaining about being here watching my family have fun? Who am I? When this young man and his family are out, I don't know that I could do what he did. So we need to be content. We need to try to see the blessings in our life. We need to always, again, seek the kingdom of God first. We also need to understand that God's will be done. And we read in Romans 11, 33 through 36, "So the depth of the riches, both of wisdom and the knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For he hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been his counselor, or who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again. For of him and through him and to him are all things. To whom be the glory forever. Amen." When we read this, we see that we do not try to explain God's ways, try to change God's mind, try to negotiate with God or take credit for his works. God's will be done, and we need to accept that and trust in him. I'm going to conclude this morning with a story. In 2008, a young Australian woman, Haley Bartholomew, found that she wasn't enjoying life. She described herself as feeling lost and stuck on a treadmill. It was almost inexplicable. She was married to a man she loved and had beautiful children who held her heart. So why was she feeling so down about her life? Haley sought counsel of a nun who advised her to spend time each day reflecting on something for which she was grateful. Haley began a project called 365 Grateful. Every day she took a photograph of something for which she was grateful. It changed her life, for it allowed her to see things that she had never noticed. Haley had always thought of her husband as unromantic. One day she took a picture of him serving up dinner. The thing which she was grateful for that day, she noticed for the first time that the largest portion of pie was placed on her plate. She realized that the largest portion was always placed on her plate, and that was one small but profound way her husband showed his care for her. Haley had found mothering a boring job, but she also took photos of her children holding out their hands to her, playing and exploring. She discovered how much joy and wonder there was in her world. Through the art of gratitude, Haley found herself lifted out of her rut and celebrating life. Right here is an example how we see things. Do you see your glass half full or half empty? She looked at her life in a different way. She tried to find the pleasure in life and trying to just get in a rut and stay in a routine. You know, when I came up with this, we'll go back. I'm sitting in my office. I'm reading all the rules that we got to follow. And I'm starting to get upset. And then I think back in the past about when I first started in this, we didn't have to do this, this, or this. It'd be so much better to obey. And then I start feeling sorry for myself. And then I finally realized I start listening to myself. And then I got up and I went and walked around the school building. I saw children having fun. Teachers teaching, got a few high fives, and a smile came across my face. It's our attitude that we take into situations. As Christians and through the Christian walk of life, we're going to have trials and tribulation. It's written. We're going to have them. It's how we react to them, the attitude we have with them. And when we see each other struggling with things, as Christian brothers and sisters, we can go to them and be lifted. And then we go back, we pray, and always remember, seek ye first the kingdom of God.